Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one, the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? If there is a great sin of our day and age, I believe it is the sin of entitlement. It is the sin that somehow, because we are who we are, and whatever we want to put with that, because we're fabulous, or because we're rich, or because we are whatever we are, we're entitled to whatever. And the bottom line is, God does not see, nor has God ever seen, the same way that humanity sees. And you and I should be grateful rather than grumbling. Many times in church circles, it works itself out this way. Well, why would Father listen to that person? Because I'm the one that volunteers, and I'm the one that gives my time, and I'm the one that's here all the time. But yet this newcomer comes along and comes up with this idea, and all of a sudden we're doing it. Or, I've gone to church every weekend all of my life, and I expect a little bit more out of God rather than that Christmas and Easter Catholic who just comes around here at those couple times a year. And how dare they take my place on Christmas and Easter in those pews because I sit here every week. And the list could go on and on and on. I remember one time a seminarian was goofy enough to ask me the question right after Father Joe was ordained, since we were in the seminary together the first time, whether or not I was upset that we'd get the same retirement, even though he'd only just started working and I'd already had about 25 years or so in. I'm not going to tell you what I said to the seminarian. It's probably not worthy of a pulpit, okay? God doesn't see the way we see. And we should be grateful. We should be grateful for God's mercy. We stop and we want to say, well, that person's sins are so much more than mine. So that makes ours good? And so I'm just going to give you the best piece of advice I can give you. And that is, we need to get over ourselves. And it's hard to get over ourselves. I've been trying for 60 years and I'm still not over myself. But we need to get over ourselves. Because God can do with his love and his mercy whatever God decides to do with his love and his mercy. And I think I'm getting to the point where I'm smart enough to realize I'm going to grab what I can take and just keep moving, rather than worrying about how he's going to treat somebody else who might not have done as much as I did. I don't want the Lord to be looking at me and saying, oh, you who think you're first, you can go to the back of the line. Thus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Now I have some stunningly good news for you. First of all, realize that between last night and tonight, I took about 5 pounds of snarkiness out of my homily. Okay? I don't know whether I was just in a bad mood last night or what, but I was a little snarky last night. And I think I'm just much more loving tonight. And I'll let you be the judge of that. I don't care. Okay? But the other good news I have for you is that because this is Catechetical Sunday and because this is also the weekend of our retirement collection for our religious sisters and brothers and priests, I've asked Sister Diana if she'd share a brief reflection with us. I'm going to tell you that even after last night, I said to her, I said, Diana, in all these years, I think this is my favorite one of all your reflections, because you really opened up a can of good old sister on everybody and really got into good teaching mode, and I really enjoyed it. But I am going to tell you that the reviews do come out, quickly after all these weekends. that one of our other parishioners said today. She said, be sure to thank Sister Diane and thank you, because that loving church is the church that I grew up in and the church that I know. And so I said, well, I will pass that on, and I'm going to use your view at the 6 o'clock Mass. I will say that sometimes people get upset when Sister Diane gives a little reflection after I preach. And every once in a while, somebody writes a letter to the bishop. I don't care. Right away, it's no problem. Because, as I used to say to Father Reedy, and I've said to Father Shoby, did I not do my fulfillment of the law in preaching? Well, yes. I said, so? It's not like I've abdicated my authority, abdicated my law, abdicated my collar. Have I not done, have I not fulfilled the pretext of the law? And they said, yes. I said, then leave me alone and stop bothering me about this. So, there you have it. That's what happens when you pay for my education. But indeed, I would like to ask Sister Diane if she would give a brief reflection for us, because she is one of our chief catechists, and she's also one of our beloved religious who serves us so well. And Diane, I just want to make a note that I use that term twice now this weekend, not just once. Okay?
You all heard him. I'm the beloved Sister Diane. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's known me any length of time, and Veronica over here has probably known me the longest, because I knew her in Neosho 35 years ago. Beloved is not a word people usually use for me, right, Jerry? It's okay. I'm tough. This Sunday across the nation is Catechetical Sunday, and most parishes are trying to figure out what they're going to do about the catechetical care of their children. And I don't know that we've figured that out exactly yet, but Kimberly and I are talking about it Friday over lunch. Classes are supposed to begin on October 4th, unless, of course, the whole world shuts down because of the COVID virus. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm going to talk to you all, like I've talked to every group this weekend, because I don't think we can leave the task of catechesis in the hands of three people of this parish. I'm giving you notice. It belongs to all of us. How many kids do you think you'll have this year in youth group? Can't know, can we? But they've had a mob. Usually on Wednesday nights, it's a mob event. So I just think we can't know. And we can't know how long it'll last and what'll happen, etc. So I'm going to call all of us, not just me, not just Father, not just the few of us who have a profile around here. We're all responsible for sharing God with every level of the parish. And when we are doing that, sharing God with every level of the parish, it's not God that's described in the Apostles' Creed. It's not the God who's described in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, although those are all true descriptions. I think we better reveal to one another here and then out there the God of our hearts, the God who lives in our hearts. And so, we're going to have a little hands-on exercise here this evening. Veronica, stand up. Yes, you, Veronica. I'm going to ask you a question. And then I'm going to give you some descriptives under that, okay? Okay. So, Veronica, This question leads to how big is your God? And you can answer, yes, I believe that, or bigger than that, or smaller than that. Okay? Okay. So, Veronica, is your God as big as Missouri? Ooh, did you hear that? How much bigger? Bigger, bigger. Okay. Is your God as big as the United States of America? Bigger. Is your God as big as the planet Earth?
Yes.
Just as big or bigger? Bigger. Thank you, Veronica. Okay. The young man in the red shirt. Yeah, that'd be you with the green mask. Okay. Is your God as rich as Warren Buffett? Richer. Is your God as rich as Judge Judy? Richer, okay. Is your God as rich as Mark Zuckerberg? Richer. I think we're getting it. Is your God as rich as Jeff Bezos? He's as rich as Jeff Bezos. Or richer? Richer. Okay. I think we're seeing this, aren't we? These are people and places and things that we have on pedestals in our minds, or every time we sign a check, or whenever we have to pay bills. But our God is bigger than anybody that we've talked about so far. The first lesson in the world of catechesis is to introduce people to the God we believe in. That's what I just said earlier. Again, not the God of the Apostles' Creed with technical theological language, or the God of the Catechism of the Catholic Church with technical theological language, but the God who lives within and among us. So even if you have on a mask, when you go into Walmart neighborhood store, you should be able to, with your eyes, communicate God to the people who are there. Would you agree? Oh, yes. Anybody try that lately? Just the next time. I was at the Walmart neighborhood store down on 7th Street, East 7th Street, and I went in. As I was going in, a lady was going in, and she said, she was smiling, and she said, "I'm smiling underneath my mask." And I think that's a good thing to say to people now and then, so that they don't think they're a stranger. When we smile at people, they're not a stranger. When we see people here in the church, do you say hello to most people, even if you don't know their name, for crying out loud? We say hello because we all belong here. And we have to grow comfortable sharing our God with one another through smiles, through hellos to the younger members of families that are with us. But mostly we do this through stories. Would you agree to that? Do you ever think of sharing God with others through stories? I have a little grandniece. Her name is Sophie. She's not so little anymore. I think she's 8. And about 3 years ago, we were all at Thanksgiving dinner at my sister's house, and Sophie was sitting at the end of the table, not the end that Regina has, you understand, but next to her, and I was next to Sophie. And we'd all gotten through the buffet line, and we'd got our food, and we'd said prayers before doing that. And Sophie picked up her plate, her dinner plate, and slid out the charger from under her plate. You know, you follow me? Okay. Her mother, who was sitting on my left, Megan, said, "Sophie, put that back. This is Gina's beautiful table. Put that back. And Sophie actually lowered her voice and said out loud, "It's for my friend who's here." And I thought, who would that be? And you could see the wheels turning in Megan's mind. And eventually Megan said, "Okay, she can stay." So then, a few minutes later, I leaned over to Soph and I said, "Soph, who's your friend who's here?" And she said, "It's Princess Anna from Frozen, right?" And I said, "Oh, I'm so glad she's here with us, because she had a terrible time. Her sister froze everything, and she had a terrible time. And she can be with us, can't she, Soph?" And she said, "Yes, she can. She can have Thanksgiving dinner with us." Now that reality, that exchange of under 5 minutes, I'm sure the whole thing, changed me. And I was working here at the time, and it was Saturday nights when a man started coming to Saturday night mass, and we only knew him as Eric. You remember him, Mary? Yes. I think he had an eye for Mary, and he worked his way up to her pew. Remember that? Eric had long white hair, a full beard, and he always wore overalls, and he carried a what do you call those things?
Staff.
Staff. He carried a staff. So he started out about midway, and then he worked his way up, and he ended up in the pew behind Mary. Well, by after Christmas, and he came every Saturday, by after Christmas, he started going to communion. And I was pretty sure he wasn't a Catholic. But you know, my job is to catechize people who aren't Catholics and invite them to be. So I said, "Eric, are you a Catholic?" And he said, "No." I said, "Do you want to be a Catholic?" And he said, "No." But he went to communion every Saturday night. And I began to think, wait a minute, is my job to be the communion patrol? And I didn't think so. That's his job in the green. And so I just let it go. And we always welcomed him. And he received communion. Then he was always anointed when we had anointings. And I thought, well, maybe this is okay. After all, it's what God thinks of us, not what the regulations of the church always are. And then, not this past spring, but the spring before, I came back from San Antonio, and he wasn't here. And I said, "Where's Eric?" And somebody said, "Oh, he died." I said, "He died?" And I got to thinking, what if we had denied him communion with us? Not just the bread and wine, that communion, but being part of us. Because he took up money at the Knights of Columbus fish fries and stuff like that. You know, he was a part of the world here. And I got to thinking, wow, what if he got to heaven and God said, "How come you never went to communion?" And he said, "Oh, those people wouldn't let me." I didn't like that idea at all. And so I began to think differently about things. And I began to think, how big is my God? And I began to think like you all do. My God just got bigger and bigger and bigger because of Eric and because of Sophie's story about Princess Anna. See, you never know where God is going to come into your life and where you're going to learn a little dab of something about God. Like I said, you never know when God is going to come into your life. I moved to the house behind the church here where Father Chaz used to live. It's pretty... Oh, it's a mess. Don't come visit me yet. There's no place for you to sit down. But I got up yesterday morning. Well, on Friday night, I had decided I would set up the pages for my homily for this week. Oh, I'm sorry, reflection. Got to get it right. And I did that on Friday night, and then Saturday morning when I got up, I opened it up and I was getting ready to write this little sketch. And do you know what was there? I had not put it there. I swear to you, I didn't put it there. And it's a little story that is exactly what I needed to close with this morning, this evening. And I know God put it there so I would use it. I was flabbergasted. But let me just tell you, the more you think and invite God into your life, God will start doing strange things in your life. Would you agree, Jerry? Jerry agrees. Mary, would you agree? She agrees. Let's just see, how many agree? God will start doing strange things in your life once God is invited in. And so here's the closing story that God put there sometime between Friday night when I went to bed and Saturday morning when I got up. There was a farmer who grew excellent quality wheat, and every season he won the award for the best wheat grown in his county. One year, a reporter for the best wheat grown, a reporter from the local newspaper, interviewed the farmer and learned that each spring the man shared his seed with his neighbors so that they too could plant it in their fields. How can you afford to share your best wheat seed with your neighbors when they're entering their crops in the competition with yours? The reporter asked. That's kind of like that entitlement thing Father talked about. I'm going to hoard my stuff right here next to me, and you can't have any. But let's see what happened. Why, that's very simple, the farmer explained. The wind picks up pollen from the developing wheat and carries it from field to field, and if my neighbors grow inferior wheat, cross-pollination will steadily degrade the quality of all the wheat, including mine. If I am to grow good wheat, I must help my neighbors grow good wheat. Isn't that interesting? The reporter realized how the farmer's explanation also applied to people's lives in the most fundamental way. Those who want to live meaningfully and well must help enrich the lives of others, for the value of a life is measured by the lives it touches. And those who choose to be happy must help others find happiness. For the welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. I'll repeat that part. For the welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. I believe we could take a lesson from that these days, wouldn't you think? The welfare of each is bound up with the welfare of all. So when you get asked, hey, how big is your God? You can pick all kinds of ways to share that. And sometimes it does good to simply share a little vignette from your own personal life. And the people will say, wow, I wish my God was that big. Our gods can be as big as we want them to be. God is just waiting for us to say how big God is. I want to thank you in advance for your generosity, as it can be. We're all in pandemic times, I understand. For the retired sisters and brothers' collection that is across the United States today and in the next few days. You may not think that it makes any difference, but my congregation, the Sisters of Divine Providence of San Antonio, we count on money from that fund, which is in Washington, D.C., every year. Every year we ask for about $150,000 to take care of the sisters in our nursing center. And we always get it. And it's due to your generosity. So thank you for helping us care for our elder sisters. They're all tired of being locked down since March 15th. And so I'm sure that the reason 12 of them died in July was because they were sick and tired of being here. They hadn't left their rooms since March last spring. And I think they just said, okay, God, take me. Any day will be fine. And God took 12 of them in July. So we can't be sad about their going. They went straight to God. We can't be sad about that. But we'll miss them. And we'll count on their prayers. You know, that's another deal. God allows us to pine for people in our lives who have died. And we have to get used to the idea that they're not gone. They're just someplace else. In July, my nephew in Odessa and his wife had a baby. And the baby was born without blood. I know, I never heard of that before. Anybody else ever heard of that before? Okay. And they named her Chloe Rose. And so she was born in Odessa, but they moved her by airlift to the Children's Hospital in Fort Worth. And so my sister Terry and I were talking about that on the phone one night, and I said, Terry, we've just got to turn this over to Mother. Our mother died about 3 years ago. And I'm telling you, when you turn something over to your mother who's in heaven, it always works out. And that little girl is fine now. And she's gone home to Odessa and is with her brothers and sisters and her mother and dad. And I know it's because of my mother. Because once we're in heaven, and I think I'm just not making this up, once we're in heaven, we become extensions of the Lord God. And so that's what people do in heaven. They just do that all day long. Help God out. So yes, God is everywhere. And how big is your God? Think about that. And dream big for a big God. Thank you.